From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
It's nice for me, Amanda, to accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we are going to present you some segments beginning from news across the country and Indonesian pop songs. Stay tuned. Here is the news read by Amanda. First, the headlines. Indonesia becomes an example of the world's largest tolerance country. GGC submits policy recommendations to the government of Indonesia. Now the news in detail. With so many recognized religions, Indonesia has become a country of tolerance. The existence of religious believers in Indonesia is able to maintain the dynamics of tolerance in coexistence, as stated by Secretary General of Centrist Democrat International, or CDI, Antonio Lopez in his remarks at a panel discussion at the Eurasia Centrist Democrat International Forum meeting in Yogyakarta on Friday.
Indonesia has long been considered the exemplar of tolerance. 87% of its 260 million, which makes Indonesia the biggest Muslim country and the third largest democracy in the world. The great country is protected by the constitution as a long tradition of religious pluralism.
In addition, Antonio Lopez called for more than 100 CDI members present from the Latin American continent, Europe, Africa, and Asia to be able to fight terrorism, extremism, and intolerance. Thereby, the world peace is maintained. To make Indonesia become the top 5 in the world economy in 2045, the Jakarta Japan Club, or GGC, submits policy recommendations to the Indonesian government. This was affirmed by GGC President Kanji Tojo at a press conference in Jakarta on Friday. He stated that every 5 years, GGC formulates policy recommendations to the Indonesian government. He also explained there are 4 main points of the last proposal compiled at the end of 2019. Our policy recommendations are 4 points. There are improvement of the business climate through investment promotion, human resource development and technology transfer, infrastructure development and encouraging exports through expanding the domestic market and strengthening the domestic industry. Related to the 4 proposed policy points, Kanji Tojo added, the market potential for Indonesia is no longer in doubt. Thereby, Indonesia only needs the expansion of the domestic market and strengthening domestic industries to increase exports. He also said that Japan would be happy to share experiences and fight with Indonesia to achieve the target in 2045. The international world is faced with uncertainty towards peace since there is no strong willingness to maintain agreements that are built and based on mutual awareness. This was affirmed by Vice President Maruf Amin in his remarks at the panel discussion at the Eurasia Centrist Democrat International, or CDI, forum meeting in Yogyakarta on Friday. Before the CDI member countries, Vice President Maruf Amin stressed that Indonesia wanted to share that Indonesia consists of 300 ethnic groups and live in more than 17,000 islands, and each has different cultures, languages, and religions or beliefs. According to the Vice President, Indonesia might be the most heterogeneous country in the world, but Indonesia remain united because the Indonesian people were were able to maintain the agreement that was inaugurated as the basis of the formation of Indonesia's 1945 Constitution, Pancasila, and the Unitary State of the Republic of Indonesia. The agreement is diversity as strength. Ambassador of India to Indonesia, Pradeep Kumar Rawat, was very optimistic about trade in the palm oil industry, despite the growing backlash of the industry faces. It was stated by the Indian ambassador to Indonesia in Jakarta on Friday. During the interview, the ambassador talked about the close historical relations between India and Indonesia and some of the potentials and challenges the two countries face, especially in technology sector and palm oil industry. He also said that the leaders of both countries are placing significant emphasis on the relations between the two countries. He added that there are a lot of commonalities between India and Indonesia in the technology sector and stressed on the importance of having technological cooperation. Indonesia and India are aiming to reach a total of $50 billion in trade cooperation by 2025. The current trades amount to only $21 billion, predominantly rising through the trade of palm oil and coal. Ambassador Rawat said, if the two countries can further diversify trade, considering the sizes of the Indian and Indonesian economy, the target of $50 billion can even be called conservative. Ambassador Rawat was very optimistic about reaching this target, considering that the size of India's and Indonesia's economy put together amounts to almost $5 trillion. Vice President Maruf Amin hopes that the pattern of education and development of human resources of the military cadets, especially in the aerospace field, must be improved. This was stated by the Vice President during the morning walk at the Air Force Academy in Yogyakarta. Visiting the Air Force Academy in Sleman Regency, Yogyakarta, became part of a series of work visits by the Vice President in his Java province and the special region of Yogyakarta on January 23rd and 24, 2020. He explained that the education covers character, integrity, national insight, competence, and skills. He added that the pattern of education and coaching of cadets would determine the quality of prospective soldiers who would guard the Unitary State of Republic of Indonesia. Acting spokesperson of the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Teguh Faizasyah, said that until now, no Indonesian citizens in China had been exposed to the coronavirus. As reported by Kompas.com on Friday, Faizasyah said that currently the Ministry of Foreign Affairs is collecting data on Indonesian citizens, including Indonesian students who are in China in particular. For Indonesian citizens currently residing in Wuhan City, previously the Ministry of Foreign Affairs issued an appeal to citizens who plan to travel to Wuhan City, Hubei Province, China. This is in line with the outbreak of the coronavirus in Wuhan City. The appeal was based on directives from the Ministry of Health and was referred to all Indonesian citizens who are in Wuhan City or planning to travel to Wuhan City. Japanese banking Mizuho expressed interest in financing 70 Pertamina ports offered by head of the Investment Coordinating Board BKPM, Bahlil Lahadalia. The interest was revealed in a meeting between Bahlil and Senior Managing Executive Officer Mizuho Teiji Teramoto on the sidelines of the World Economic Forum 2020 activity in Davos, Switzerland. In a written statement in Jakarta, Teiji said that his side tried to examine more deeply this opportunity. Responding to this interest, the head of BKPM Bahlil Hadaila was grateful for Mizuho's readiness to finance investment projects in Indonesia. He also said that his side and the team at BKPM are ready to follow up on Mizuho's interest. Hurricane Gloria has killed at least 11 people in Spain and 5 others missing. The storm also caused rivers to overflow and pollute large agricultural areas in eastern Spain. New reports about missing victims in northeastern Catalonia and the Balearic Islands in the Mediterranean country raise fears about the increasing number of fatalities due to Hurricane Gloria. Quoted from the AP on Friday, the death toll with Hurricane Gloria was caused by high waves of seawater. Another victim was trapped in a vehicle in the middle of a flood and was hit by building debris. At least two people displaced died from hypothermia when temperatures dropped dramatically across the country. Spanish Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez visited some of the most affected areas hit by Hurricane Gloria on Thursday local time. A listener, that was the news.
This is news from across Indonesia, and the first news comes from Mataram, West Nusa Tenggara. The provincial government of West Nusa Tenggara launched the Lombok Sumbawa 2020 tourism calendar of events as a guide to tourism activities in the province over the next year, which is more directed and measured. In a written statement in Mataram, the capital of West Nusa Tenggara, on Thursday, it was mentioned at the launch of the tourism calendar that carries the big theme of Lombok Sumbawa Goes to MotoGP 2021 was held at the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy Building in Jakarta on Wednesday. In this year's tourism calendar, the province has 16 big agendas. Three of them are wonderful events from the tourism calendar of the Indonesian Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy. Namely, the Baunyale 2020 Festival from February the 9th to 15th, the charm of the Hasanah Ramadan 2020 Festival throughout the Ramadan or fasting month 2020, and the Taliwang Festival in November 2020. Taking the Lombok Sumbawa Goes to MotoGP 2021 theme is expected to give a positive spirit to the people of West Nusa Tenggara to make the international scale event a success. Next news comes from Manokwari, West Papua. A joint study revealed that a number of walking shark species were found in the Raja Ampat Waters, West Papua Province, and Halmahera, North Maluku Province. Antara News Agency in Manokwari reported Thursday that based on joint research conducted by the Indonesian Institute of Sciences, Commonwealth Scientific and Industrial Research Organization, University of Queensland, Australia, University of Florida, USA, and Conservation International, this walking shark is still in the process of differentiation. Fahmi, one of the writers and researchers on the team, said six of the world's shark species can be found in Indonesia. According to him, the species is endemic, so the Indonesian government must ensure its protection. The latest news comes from Jakarta. Tamrin 10 as a public facility in the form of parks and eating places in central Jakarta provides a culinary event with the theme Chinese Food Festival to enliven the Chinese New Year 2571 celebration. The Chinese Food Festival is filled with 18 typical Chinese food merchants from small and medium enterprises, as well as the Chinese food merchant community supported by Chef Republic. Visitors who come will be greeted by Coco Chichi, who uses Chinese New Year's costume so that the atmosphere of the celebration of the Metal Mouse Year is increasingly felt at Tamrin 10 starting last Thursday. From Friday, January the 24th, there are giant lanterns and a wishes tree through the Cap Gome celebration 15 days later. In addition, there are also lion dance performances that will entertain visitors. Well, that was news from Indonesia. Over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello there, this is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from the state in the past as recorded in history. Let's start from an event which happened on January the 25th, 1919, when the League of Nations was founded. The League of Nations was an intergovernmental organization founded as a result of the Paris Peace Conference that ended the First World War. It was the first international organization whose principal mission was to maintain world peace. Its primary goals, as stated in its covenant, included preventing wars through collective security and disarmament and settling international disputes through negotiation and arbitration. Other issues in these and related treaties included labor conditions, just treatments of native inhabitants, human and drug trafficking, arms trade, global health, prisoners of war, and protection of minorities in Europe. As its greatest extent from September 28, 1934 to February 23, 1935, it had 58 members. The diplomatic philosophy behind the League represented a fundamental shift from the preceding 100 years. After a number of notable successes and some early failures in the 1920s, the League ultimately proved incapable of preventing aggression by the Axis powers in 1930s. Germany withdrew from the League, as did Japan, Italy, Spain, and others. The onset of World War II showed that the League had failed its primary purpose, which was to prevent any future world war. The League lasted for 27 years. The United Nations replaced it after the end of World War II and inherited a number of agencies and organizations founded by the League. The next event was in 1924 when the first Olympic Winter Games was held. The 1924 Winter Olympics, officially known as the first Olympic Winter Games, were a winter multi-sport event which was held in 1924 in Chamonix, France. Originally called International Winter Sports Week and held in association with the 1924 Summer Olympics, the sport competitions were held at the foot of Mont Blanc in Chamonix and Haute-Savoie, France, between January 25 and February 5, 1924. The games were organized by the French Olympic Committee and were in retrospect designated by the International Olympic Committee as the first Olympic Winter Games. The tradition of holding the Winter Olympics in the same year as the Summer Olympics would continue until 1994, when the current practice of holding a Winter Olympics in the second year after its Summer Olympics began. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Ketika kau lewati bumi tempat ku berdiri, kedua mata ini tak berkedip. Menatapi pesona indah wajahmu, mampu mengalihkan duniaku. Tak henti membayangkanmu, terganggu oleh cantikmu. 7 hari dalam seminggu, hidup penuh warna. Selalu mendekatimu, memberi tanda cinta. Engkau wanita tercantikku yang pernah ku temukan. Wajahmu mengalihkan duniaku. Seminggu hidup penuh warna, ku selalu memberi tanda cinta. Engkau wanita tercantikku yang pernah ku temukan. Wajahmu mengalihkan duniaku.
That was a song by Afghan titled Wajahmu Mengalihkan Duniaku, and you're still with us on Voice of Indonesia. Next, we are going to give you information about in our program, My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia today is on Indonesian Pavilion promotes products and investment at the World Economic Forum. The Indonesian Pavilion was present at the World Economic Forum 2020 from January the 21st to 24th in Davos, Switzerland. Indonesian Coordinating Minister for Maritime Affairs and Investment, Luhut Panjaitan, and Coordinating Minister for the Economy, Airlangga Hartarto, officially opened it last Tuesday. Minister of Trade Agus Suparmanto, when accompanying the coordinating ministers, explained the forum was attended by around 3,000 participants, including world leaders and global corporate leaders. So it was a very strategic momentum for Indonesia to promote trade, especially export products and services and investment potentials. The Indonesian Pavilion at the World Economic Forum 2020 themed Unity in Diversity, Partner for Action, featured several export products from Indonesia, including snacks, tea, chocolate, coffee, and technology services. A number of panel discussions on Indonesia's trade strategy, digital economy, tourism, and the creative economy, as well as smart cities, were also held at the Indonesian Pavilion. Besides the ministers, the discussion also presented speakers from the Chamber of Commerce and Industry and Indonesian startups such as Traveloka, Grab Indonesia, and Gojek Indonesia. In his remarks, Coordinating Minister Luhut Panjaitan said that Indonesia was very open to working with the private sector in the technology industry sector from around the world. This is a form of commitment to the development of society and the nation. Luhut Panjaitan also invited global investors to work together to develop the electric vehicle ecosystem sector and offer projects to move the Indonesian capital. The Indonesian Pavilion at the World Economic Forum 2020 was initiated by the Investment Coordinating Board with support from the various ministries and Indonesian representative in Switzerland. The head of Investment Coordinating Board, Bahlil Lahadalia, in a written statement in Jakarta on Wednesday, saw the importance of Indonesia being present at the midst of the World Economic Forum 2020 activities, not only as a venue for the promotion of Indonesian special drinks and foods, for instance, but to open up insights to the world of promising business sectors in Indonesia. According to Bahlil Lahadalia, with the character of the World Economic Forum activity, which is more a venue for networking between participants, the board does not immediately expect a large investment agreement. But on that occasion, he assured that the state would be present for investors accompanying the project to execution. Well, that was My Indonesia today on Indonesian Pavilion promotes products and investment at the World Economic Forum 2020.
Semua ini hingga terungkap dengan sejumlah kata, setulus hati sepenuh jiwa dirimu
satu mimpiku.
Was a song titled Satu Mimpiku by The Groove. You're still with us on Voice of Indonesia. Next, let's listen to our segment Indonesian Wonder.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder. Today I introduce you Wolur Beach in Lampung. Stay tuned. Wolur Beach has white sand and a sloping coastline. In the evening, its beauty increases with the presence of lanterns from the lighthouse. Wolur Beach also has a large grass field that is overgrown by coconut trees, making the atmosphere of the beach more comfortable and appropriate for tourism. The beach is usually crowded during holiday. The beach is also appropriate for those who like fishing. The waves of the beach are not too strong so that it is safe for children. In addition, the beach also has amazing coral reefs. Walur Beach is precisely located in Walur Village, Pesisir Tengah District, West Lampung Regency. The distance of Walur Beach from Kui City Center is around 5 kilometers. If you go to Walur Beach via highway, it is a little far, but if you go through the coastal road, it is closer. The best time to visit Walur Beach is in the morning, when the weather is still cool. During the day, the weather can be very hot, so make sure to use sun cream and a hat or umbrella to protect your skin from direct sunlight. And listener, that was Indonesian Wonder.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Berapa lama aku menunggu jawaban darimu? Sampaikah kepadamu kata-kata yang kurangkaikan agar kau tahu perasaanku yang telah lama terpendam. Yang kau inginkan, apapun itu kan ku berikan untukmu. Andai kau bersamaku di tempat dan waktu yang sama, kau akan tahu perasaanku. Jangan hanya bicara, ku tak perlu kata-kata untuk mengerti yang kau rasakan. Karena ku hanya butuh separuh hatimu di dalam hidupku untuk buatku bahagia. Semenjak kau ada di sini, ku mengerti betapa ku membutuhkanmu.
Bila kataku tak cukup untuk buatmu mengerti, izinkan ku bertemu lagi denganmu. Jangan hanya bicara, ku tak perlu kata-kata.
was a song titled Bicara, sung by The Overtunes featuring Monita Tahalea, and you're still with us on Voice of Indonesia. Next, we are going to present you a program, Miscellany. Stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener of Airwave Service Voice of Indonesia, welcome to Miscellany, a regular program that brings you various information about Indonesia. Today's edition is about University of Indonesia inaugurated a multidisciplinary laboratory. Listener, to answer the challenges in the field of science and to realize the world-class research university, the University of Indonesia inaugurated the multidisciplinary research laboratory of the Faculty of Mathematics and Sciences. The existence of this laboratory is also expected to support a sustainable development. The laboratory inauguration ceremony was held on Thursday, January 11, 2018, by Professor Dr. Insinyur Muhammad Anis, Director of University of Indonesia, and Elia Masa Manik, the Director of Pertamina. The event was held in conjunction with the 57th anniversary of Faculty of Mathematics and Sciences. The development of multidisciplinary research laboratory is the result of cooperation between University of Indonesia with PT Pertamina, which has been running for more than 10 years. Listener, the multidisciplinary research laboratory building was designed with green building concept, which is environmentally friendly by applying energy efficiency for lighting and air circulation. This building consists of 8 levels, each with floor area of nearly 1,000 square meters. Multidisciplinary research is expected to encourage the growth of innovation work for national development and develop both basic and applied research in University of Indonesia in general and Faculty of Mathematics and Sciences of University of Indonesia in particular. To be detailed, the research that will be developed in this laboratory consists of environmental genomics and biotechnology, biogeoprospecting, smart and functional materials, hydrometeorology, climate change, and natural hazard, renewable energy, and computational science and big data. In the future, this laboratory will be the forerunner of science park development at the University of Indonesia. A Memorandum of Understanding, or MOU, between University of Indonesia, Faculty of Engineering, and the National Aeronautics and Space Agency, or LAPAN, was also signed at the inauguration ceremony of the multidisciplinary laboratory. Meanwhile, Faculty of Mathematics and Sciences, University of Indonesia, signed a cooperation agreement, which is a continuation of MOU previously signed with LAPAN. The signing of MOU and cooperation in academic and research were conducted by University of Indonesia Rector and Head of LAPAN, Professor Dr. Thomas Jamaluddin. On the occasion, Rector Muhammad Anis said there will be a sharing facility. University of Indonesia students can use LAPAN laboratory facilities and vice versa. In addition, it is expected that LAPAN employees can also continue the academic level of research-based master and doctoral programs at the University of Indonesia, which directly focus on specific research. LAPAN experts can also be a mentor or supervisor for University of Indonesia students who are completing thesis or dissertation. That was Miscellany for today. We will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
lapisan-tipis air yang beku. Sentuhan lembut kan hancurkan aku. Walaupun cinta yang sempurna menghampiriku seketika, ku ingin kau tahu betapa rapuhnya aku. Kau tak tahu betapa rapuhnya aku. Masih terasa luka di masa lalu. Ku pernah mencintai sepenuh hati, namun cinta kau ingkar. Dan ku terluka, luka membekas, bekas membuat, buat selamanya. Selamanya ku kan selalu, ku kan selalu. Harapan lagi yang baru, kau tawarkan ku. Namun kenangan itu, ku ingin kau tahu betapa rapuhnya.
Was a song titled Rapu or Broken by Rini Wulandari. You're still with us on Voice of Indonesia, and next we are going to give you information about music in our program Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. In today's edition, we are going to present you a keroncong song entitled Juwita Malam. Juwita Malam is one of keroncong songs which is quite popular among keroncong music lovers. The song is composed by Ismail Marzuki. It tells about a man who meets a woman that captivates his heart in a trip on a train. This woman is called Juwita Malam. Unfortunately, they must separate at Jatinegara station. The lyric of the song was written in a poetic style which was in the first and second verses. Listener, here is Savitri with the song entitled Juwita Malam.
Kau gemilang
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Indahnya, namun menambah biarkan dirimu menyusuri liku hidupku. Janganlah kau bimbang dan janganlah kau ragu. Berikanlah senyuman padaku. Selamat tinggal kasih sampai kita jumpa lagi. Aku pergi, yeah, takkan lama. Hanya setiap saja ku akan kembali lagi. Asalkan engkau tetap menanti. Meninggalkan dirimu menyusuri liku hidupku. Janganlah kau bimbang dan janganlah kau ragu. Berikanlah senyuman padaku.
Listener, thank you so much for joining us in our terrestrial program. Don't forget to send us your comments and criticism to our email address voi@voinews.id, Facebook The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram voice.of.indonesia, and Twitter @voiindonesia. I'm Amanda. Thank you so much and have a great day.